All right, here we're beginning with the new perek on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. In the Mishnayot, this is actually perek Dalet, whereas the Gemara, where it's perek Gimel, the Mishnayot follow a different order. It deals with the Kedushat Beit HaKnesset first, and then goes on to discuss the practices inside the Beit HaKnesset, which is what's discussed in the perek we're about to read. In the Gemara, they reverse them just because of topically, it has to do with the Megillah, this perek, as well as the fact that it's somewhat connected to the previous perek. So therefore, in the Gemara Bavli, we have the perek now that we're calling perek Shlishi, is actually perek Revi'i in the Mishnayot, and then vice versa with regards to when we learn perek Revi'i, that's really perek Shlishi in the Mishnayot. Mishnah begins, Akoreta Megillah, Omed V'Yoshev. First going to read the Megillah both standing and sitting. Kara Echad, Karua Shnayim, Yatsu. If one person reads it, or two people read it, then you are Yotzei. Now, as Rashi notes over here, and the Gemara is going to discuss this as well, when we say Karua Shnayim, it doesn't mean that two people read it in a sequential manner. It's rather two people read it Yachad at the same time. So even though two people are reading it simultaneously, you're still Yotzei. And the Gemara discussed why that is the case here, and why it may be different in other instances. Makom Shenagul Avarech, Yivarech. In a place where you have the Minag, to make the bracha, you make the bracha. Shelo levarech, in a place where they do not have the minhag to make the bracha, lo yivarech. Now, as Rashi points out, lo yivarech here means not that you do not make the bracha, but rather, you don't have to make the bracha. If they don't have the minhag to say it, then you don't have to make it, but if you so choose, you can make the bracha. And the Gemara will clarify for us that here we're talking about the bracha after the Megillah, not the bracha before the Megillah. Now, B'sheni V'chamishi, on Mondays and Thursdays, and then on Shabbat and Mincha, Korim Shlosha. Then we read three Aliyot. Ein pochatin mehen, ve'ein mosifim alehen. You can't have less than three Aliyot, and you cannot add more than the three Aliyot. Because, as Rashi notes for us, it's a weekday, and it's a Yemei Melacha, it's a day that people have to go to work. And we can't be ma'akev, we can't delay people or cause them to have to stay later in shul. So we do the minimum of three, and then we move on. We don't have additional aliyot. Ve'ein maftirin b'navi. And there's no haftorah in these instances, no haftorah on Monday and Thursdays. And there's no haftorah at mincha and Shabbat. Tosafot raises here an issue that's raised also in the Gemara in Bamei Madikin. The Gemara in Bamei Madikin, the Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Chav Dalid, mentions the fact that they did have Haftorah. Bizman HaGzeira, it seems, they had a Haftorah at Mincha time. And there's a question, Machloket HaRishonim, whether that Haftorah was from the Navi, or if that Haftorah was different, it was from the Ktuvim. But nevertheless, when the Gemara says here, Im Haftarim ben Navi, that's one way to solve the problem. Yeah, it wasn't a Haftorah of Navi, but rather Haftorah Ktuvim. Or the other possibility is that it was a practice because of a Gzeira, because of a Shat HaDchak, that later fell away. Although the Ran mentions here that there are communities that were known to have a Haftorah at Navi time, and in, he says, a cousin in Paras and Madai, there's some communities there that still know which Haftorah to read at which Mincha time. So it seems that the Minhag persisted even into later times. But here the Mishnah tells us that B'derech Kalal, there is no Haftorah in the afternoon at Mincha time. So there we had the explanation why on Monday and Thursday we do not have more than three aliyot because of the work issue. And Rashi notes the reason that we don't have more than three aliyot on Mincha on Shabbat is because it's a day, Samoch LaHashecha, it's late in the afternoon, Sherei Kol HaYom Ayu Regilim LiDrosh, because they used to have a drush all day. I don't think it means literally all day, but all afternoon they had the drusha, and it was perishing late into the day, and therefore they wanted to go back after Mincha to have Sudash LiShit before sunset. So they didn't want to extend or make it a burden on the people to have more than the three aliyot. Hapoteach v'achutein b'torah mevarech lefanah u'l'achareah. The one who gets the first aliyah makes the bracha rishona in the Torah, and the one who gets the last aliyah makes the bracha achrona. And there's only one bracha before the laning, one bracha after the laning, and that is the first person makes the bracha beforehand, the last person makes the bracha afterwards. We're going to see in the Gemara there was a later institution that every aliyah, the person who comes up makes a bracha before it and afterwards, because zera mishum hanichnasim, zera mishum yotzim, is the fact that people were leaving in the middle of the Kriyat Torah, or they were coming in the middle of the Kriyat Torah, and so because of that, they instituted there be a bracha around each aliyah, and not just in the beginning and at the end of the leaning. Then we move on to the next category, which is Bereshit Chodeshim uveChodo Shel Moed. On Rosh Chodesh and Chol Moed, Korin Arba'a. On that day, you read four Aliyot. Ein Po Chatin Mehen, again, no less. Ve'ein Mosifim Alehen, and no more. Rashi again says, why no more? Well, on Rosh Chodesh, it is a day of Melacha, even though we're going to see that the Gemara speaks about it possibly being a day that doesn't have Melacha, as the Minhag Nashim not to do Melacha, as a reward for their not participating in the Egel. And it's a question in the time of the Mikdash whether men also had the practice not to work on Rosh Chodesh. But in general, on Rosh Chodesh, people do work. Uvecholo Shel Moed, Rashi points out that it's mutar to do Melechet Davar HaAved. Even though you can't do all Melacha, you still can do Melechet Davar HaAved. And therefore, there's a reason not to add on to the Aliyot, because it will cause a delay in people's ability to leave Shul. And if that's the case, you're going to stop them from doing what they have to do on that day. So therefore, we don't allow you to add on to the Aliyot of Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, that it's four is the maximum number of Aliyot that you can have. Vein Maftirim Ben Avi, once again, there's no Haftorah on Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. Ha Poteach V'Chotein B'Torah Mevarech Lefaneh U'Le'Acharah. The one who opens up says the Bracha Rishonah, the one who closes says the Bracha Achronah, the same thing that we saw in the previous piece or paragraph of the Mishnah, which is that the first person makes the bracha rishonah, the last person makes the bracha achronah. Zaklau, this is the principle. Now, this is going to be very problematic for the Bavli, because the Bavli says anytime you have zaklau in the Mishnah, it comes to include something additional. Of here, the zaklau can't include anything additional, because you already cited the two examples that have this, which is zaklau, kosheish bo musaf, beno yom tov. Anything that has a musaf, and is not a yom tov, doesn't have Easter malacha associated with it, then Arba'a, well, the two examples of that where you have Musaf and no Easter Malacha are Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. So Zeklau is the more classic sense of Zeklau and how we would read normally Zeklau in the Mishnah, which means it's a summary. It's giving you a principle to explain the two cases that you saw before, which is why do we have four Aliyot? Because they have a Musaf, which is a reason to add on an Aliyah, but on the other hand, they don't have an Easter Malacha, which is going to limit us to the four. B'Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, Chamisha, you have five Aliyot. B'Yom HaKippurim, Shisha, six Aliyot. B'Shabbat, Shiva. And on Shabbat, seven. Ein Po Chatim Mehen, you can have no less than those number. So you can have no less than five on Yom Tov, no less than six on Yom Kippur, no less than seven on Shabbat. Aval Mosifim Alehem, but you can add on to them. Now, I'll come back and discuss that in 1 second. U'maftirim b'navi. There is a maftir in all of these cases. There is a maftir associated with the laning on these days. And again, the Mishnah says, "Apoteach v'chotein b'torah mivarech lefanei l'acharah." The one who gets the first aliyah makes the bracha rishonah. The one who gets the last aliyah makes the bracha achronah on the Torah. Tosafot does question why we have to say that three times in the Mishnah. But it seems obvious Tosafot tries to come up with some reason, although it probably is just a stylistic thing that the Mishnah ends in each of these to demarcate the different paragraphs and have the same lashon in each of them. So it's easier, again, when you're memorizing these things, it's much easier to have consistency in the Mishnah. Although Tosafot's looking for maybe a chidush in why the Mishnah is repeating this. Now, the Mishnah said, Aval Mosifim Alehen. Pashtut HaMishnah, which says that you can't add on to the Mishnah, onto the Aliyot, seems to reference the previous three statements, which is Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbat, which means that you can add on to all of these days. And now, on the sheet that Rashi, it makes a lot of sense. Rashi said the reason before you can't add on to the Aliyot by the weekday, by Rosh Chodesh, and by Chol HaMoed is because there is Melacha on those days. But in the case of Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbat, where there's Isser Melacha, in that instance, we're going to say, Mosif Aliyanahen, you can't add on to the Aliyot. And that's what it seems, that's the diuk out of Shitat Rashi here, that Eino Chanami, when we say Aval Mosifim Alehem, that means literally, you can add on to any of them. You can add on to the Yom Tov laning, you can add on to Yom Kippur, and you can add on to Shabbat. Not the laning, but you can have more than the Aliyot, the prescribed Aliyot that are here. And on Daf Chav Gimel, there's a Tosafot, Divrei Matkil Chad, and he says, over there, Aval b'Shabbatot, v'yom tovim, v'yom b'kippurim shacharit, ha-maftir lo havi min ha-minyan, v'kevin shemutar la-husif alehem, yochlim anu lasot min hagenu aliva dekuli ama. Says, because you're allowed to add Aliyot in all three of these instances, so therefore we're able to do something with regards to the Maftir, which is, we'll discuss when we get to Daf Chav Gimel. But you see, Tosafot agrees with the Shita of Rashi, that you're allowed to add on Aliyot when it comes to Yom Tov, Yom Kippurim, and Shabbat. And sure enough, the Rambam paskins that way as well. that you're allowed to add on Aliyot in all of these instances. There is a Shita brought down by the Ran. The Shita brought down by the Ran that says there, Acherim Omrim, that when it says Mosifim Alein here, it only references to Shabbat. It does not reference to Yom Kippur and Yom Tov. He says the reason is simple. He says that if Yom Tov, if you add on to the five, then it's no longer Yom Tov. Then it starts to look like Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur, if you have the six and you add on to it, it stops looking like Yom Kippur and starts looking like Shabbat. Shabbat, which has seven, which is the top of the stack, if you keep adding on there, then it's not a big deal. So basically the Acherim that the Ran brings down, it says that it has to do with the Kedusha of the Yom. Yom Tov, which is the lowest of the Kedusha, gets five Aliyot. Yom Kippur gets six, Shabbat gets seven, and you have to maintain that differentiation. So the only one where it doesn't matter is Shabbat, because there's nothing above Shabbat, and therefore you can add on to the Aliyot of Shabbat, but none of the other cases, not on Yom Tov and not on Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara further on has a Shita of Rabbi Kiva, which seems to make this more difficult, the Shita of the Ran more difficult. There's also another Shita that says that the same reasoning that was given by Rashi with regards to Chol HaMoed and by Rosh Chodesh and the weekdays, that the work time afterwards is going to cause us not to add on to the Aliyot. They say the same thing applies by Yom Tov and Yom HaKippurim. By Yom Tov, where everybody needs to go home to prepare the meal and needs to be engaged in the eating and the Simchat HaYom, over there to tarry in shul and to have extra Aliyot, would be a burden on the Tzibur. And in Yom Kippur, where everybody's fasting, it also would be a burden on the Tzibur. But Shabbat, where everybody's relaxed, there's nothing to run, there's an issue of Oneg, but not like the Simcha of Yom Tov, because you can't prepare it, it was all prepared before. Over there, we have less issue, and therefore you can add on to the Aliyot. The Halacha is, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch brings in Resh Pei Bet, Sif Aleph. He says, by Shabbat, Motziim Sefer Torah B'Korim Bo Shiva, V'imratzah Lo Sif, Mosif. If you want to add on to the Aliyot, you can add on to the Aliyot. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rambam, and says that you can add on Yom Tov, you can add on Yom Kippur, and you can add on Shabbat. Hagah. The Ramah quotes, V'hu adin b'yom tov, the mutar la'osif al minyan ha'kurim. And the Ramah agrees. He quotes from the Rambam, and he says, you're out to add on to the Aliyot. V'yesh omrim, the Ramah says, the b'yom tov ein la'osif. And he's quoting the Ran that we just quoted over here. V'chein na'agu b'midnot elu. And he says, the minag in Ashkenaz is not to add on to the Aliyot of Yom Tov, milvad simchat Torah shemosafim harbe. Except for simchat Torah, where we do plenty of Aliyot, more than any other time, because everybody's trying to get an aliyah. So therefore, the Mi'ikar Adin, the halacha is both according to the Shulchan Aruch and according to the Ramah, that you can add on aliyot. And therefore, B'tshad HaTzorech, if for whatever reason there is a necessity to add on an aliyah, you can't add on aliyah in those cases. But the Ramah says that the minog in general is not to add on aliyot on Yom Tov, and would say Hu Adin by Yom Kippur, because of the Ran, and in order to maintain a certain semblance of hierarchy with regards to the Aliyot. And of course, the Mishnah Berurah qualifies the statement that you're allowed to add on Aliyot and Shabbat. It just says you should be mindful of Torah HaTzibur, that if it becomes too much of a Tirchat HaTzibur, that you're adding on more and more Aliyot, then it's probably not a good idea. All right, now the Gemara begins to understand what is unique about the Megillah here as differentiated from the Torah. So in the beginning, we said that a person reads the Megillah, Omed V'yoshev, standing and sitting. Tana, Mashen Kein B'Torah. That's not true by the Torah. By the Torah, you cannot read it standing and sitting. You must read it standing up. Menahani Mile. How do we know this? Amir Rabbeinu Damar Kroah. Because the Pasuk says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Ata Po Amod Imadi, that you stand with me. So Amir Rabbeinu, Il Malei Mikra Katuv, Ir Shar Lo'omro. Had it not been written in a Pasuk, I wouldn't be able to say this, or no one would be able to say this, because it seems ridiculous or ludicrous. Again, we had the same statement in the Gemara and Tanit, with regards to Hashem wrapping himself up in a Tanit, Talit, Gilu, he's a Shilach Tzibor, and saying the Yugimo Midot Rachamim. There the Gemara said, they quoted the same thing, which is, Ilmalei Mikra Katuv, Yevshar Lomro. Kibiachol Afa Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'amida. That Pasuk seems to indicate that even a Kodesh Baruch Hu is standing, because it says, Ata Po Amod Imadi, stand along with me. So meaning that Hashem's standing and Moshe is standing. And since we are talking about Limud HaTorah, meaning that Hashem is conveying the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, so there is an indication that it has to be done B'Amidah. So that's where Kriyat HaTorah is done, be'amida. Ve'amar Rabbi Abou. So now we have another statement from Rabbi Abou in the same context, which is, minayin the Rav, shalei yishev agabe mita, vishenei le talmido agabe karka. How is it that, what is the din with regards to a teacher? Can a teacher sit on a bed or on a chair and teach the talmidim who are sitting on the ground in front of him? So he says, how do you know that you cannot do that? Shenemar vata po amodi madi, that there's some sort of peer relationship between the teacher and the student. Hashem is the teacher here, Moshe is the student, and you, both of them are standing. So there is some sort of equality or equation between the teacher and the students, and the teacher should be on the same level as the students. Now what's interesting is that the Gemara in many other places describes many scenarios in which the Rebbe was sitting up on a chair and the Talmidim were sitting on the ground in front of them. And it seems to be that it was actually the practice, that the Rebbeim sat up and the Talmidim sat around on the floor around them. The Ran here raises the issue and says, well, why do we find so many examples of, not like Rabbi Abou over here, where the students are sitting on the floor? So he gives two answers to the question. One answer to the question he gives, based on the Gemara that's coming up here, that there's a distinction between the difficulty of that which you're teaching or learning, and we'll see that in a second, and I'll mention it when we get there. The other case is he says that it's a difference between the status of the students. That students that are ra'uy l'smicha, they can, you have to sit on the same level with them, you have to be on a peer with them. But students that are not ra'uyim l'smicha, then you can leave that differentiation or hierarchical difference there. So he says it actually has to do with the nature of the student. The closer the student is to the nature of the Rebbe, then there has to be more parity between them. And when there's a big gap between them, then they don't have to have this type of peer relationship, and they can stay on the floor. That's another distinction that the Ran makes in order to reconcile Rabbi Bo's statement with other examples we have in Shas. Tan Rabbanan, Mimot Moshe v'ad Rabban Gamliel lo yelamedim Torah ele miumad. So, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the time of Rabban Gamliel, they learnt Torah standing. That means that the people who are learning, not only was the teacher standing, but the students were standing as well. Mishemet Rabban Gamliel, after the death of Rabban Gamliel, Yirad Cholil Olam, there was a weakness that descended upon the world, Vayulamedim Torah Miyushav. They began to learn Torah sitting down. And that it was too difficult in order to learn Torah standing up, and people needed to be able to focus and concentrate, and they needed to sit in order to do that. They didn't have the strength or the ability to do it standing up. Vayinu Ditznan, and this is the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Sotah, which says, Mishemet Rabban Gamliel. After the passing of Gamliel, batel kvod haTorah, that then we lost kvod haTorah because the kvod haTorah was that they used to stand up when they learned Torah. Now all of a sudden, that was gone because the practice became to sit down for limud haTorah. Ketuv achad omer, one pasuk says veshev bahar. The Moshe was sitting down on the mountain. Ketuv achad omer vanochi amadeti bahar. I was standing on the mountain. So one implies that Moshe was sitting down when he was learning the Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other pasuk implies that he was standing up when he was learning. So Rav, omeid velomeid, yoshev v'shoneh. So Rav reconciles the pasukim and says, when he was learning mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was standing up. Once he was reviewing it himself, then he sat down. In order to have it settle with him and to work it over by himself, then he sat down. Rav Chanina amar, lo omeid velo yoshev. He wasn't standing up, he wasn't sitting down, elo shocheh. He was bent over. So it was somewhere between sitting and standing. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, here's a third possibility I had to reconcile here. In yeshiva eloshon akava. Yeshiva doesn't mean to sit, but rather means to tarry or to stay there. Shneamar, v'teshvu b'kadesh yamim rabim. That they stayed in Kadesh many days or for a long period of time. So the yeshiv here doesn't mean literally sitting, physically sitting. It means to remain or to inhabit or to stay in a location. Rova Amar, and here's the final differentiation between the psukim, a way to reconcile them, Amar, Rakot Miumad, Kashot Miushab. That the easier sugyot, or the easier part of the Torah to understand, you do standing up. The stuff that's more difficult to understand, you sit down because it requires more concentration and requires more review and more energy input, so you don't want to use your physical energy for the standing, you want to put all that energy towards understanding it. And again, this is the way the Ran answered that question before about the difference between why Rabbi Abou says over here that the teacher and the students have to be on the same level versus we have examples in Shas where that's not the case. He says that this might be a possible answer that depends on the sugya. If it's a very difficult sugya, then the Rebbe can sit up higher so that he is miyushav. His mind is focused and he's able to teach it in a better manner. On sugyot that are easier, he should be on a par or a peer of the students and sit on the same level as they do. So here you see that in terms of limuda Torah and hearing the Torah, that originally everybody stood for that, and then later on the practice became to sit down because of the inability of people to stand up to learn the Torah. Now, as far as Kriyat HaTorah and listening to Kriyat HaTorah, the Gemara in Brachot discusses the fact that when a person learns Torah, they have to, and we saw this also in the Gemara in Tanit as well, that a person has to approach the Limud HaTorah as if he's Omid Bahar Sinai, as if he's standing at Har Sinai. Because we believe that the Torah that we received and the Torah that we learned today is a Shalshalat, it's a direct chain down from Har Sinai to us. It's a passing of the Torah from generation to generation, and it's as if we stood at Har Sinai to learn that Torah because our forefathers who did stand there have passed that down to us generation by generation. And so the Gemara there describes Limud HaTorah as Ilul Hu Mekabla Mihar Sinai. It's as if you're accepting the Torah in Har Sinai. And just like the people standing at the base of Har Sinai were Beretet Ubiira, they stood there in fear and trembling and accepting and listening to the Torah, that's so too, that should be the individual's approach to Limud HaTorah, that when they're sitting and learning Torah, that they should feel that Eima and Retet, that they should be approached to Torah as if they're standing at Har Sinai. And therefore, it might be, and this is the explanation of Limud HaTorah to be standing. Standing is because at Har Sinai, they received the Torah standing. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he learned the Kodesh Baruch Hu, was standing up. So too, we, when we learn the Torah, we should be standing. Now, because a choli yarad le'olam, weakness came to the world, therefore we sit down for the Limud HaTorah now, because we're unable to stand up for Limud HaTorah. So now, that might have ramifications with regards to people listening to Kriyat HaTorah. People listening to the Kriyat HaTorah, they are also learning Torah, and since they are learning Torah, they would have the same dispensation here to sit down, just like someone who is learning Torah. Now, if you believe like Rava, that maybe the difference is between something difficult and something easy, then maybe you should have to stand up for Kriyat HaTorah, because that's not a difficult sugya, you're just listening to the Kriyat HaTorah, maybe you should have to stand up for the Kriyat HaTorah. The Machloket actually manifests itself in the Rishonim with regards to a practice that the Rambam mentions and discards, and that is the practice to stand up specifically for the Aseret HaDibrot. That people have a practice that they don't necessarily stand up for all the Kriyat HaTorah, but when it comes to select parts of the Torah or Kriyat HaTorah, they stand up for that, including the Aseret HaDibrot. And the Rambam says that that is not a good practice necessarily, because then people are going to come to think that there are certain parts of the Torah that are more important than other parts of the Torah. So if you're going to stand up there, you're going to give the wrong impression as if this is more important. The same way that the Gemara in Brachot says that they stopped the practice of reading the Aseret HaDibrot during Tefillah. They used to read the Aseret HaDibrot every day during Tefillah. But he says, Mipnei Taromot HaMinim, because of the Minim, they stopped that practice, because the Minim were saying, that's because that's the only part of the Torah that's really from Hashem, or that's the only important part of the Torah. So they stopped that practice, and they stopped saying Aseret HaDibrot in the public forum because of that. So the Rambam says the same thing with standing up for Kriyat HaTorah. You should say that it don't designate or make Aseret HaDibrot be unique in this manner, because you're doing the same thing or causing the same problem that we had with regards to the placement of Aseret HaDibrot in davening. Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful word there about maybe there is a difference. And then he says it depends on the Kriyat HaTorah. How do you view Kriyat HaTorah? So again, if you believe Kriyat HaTorah every week is Ki'ilu, you're standing at Mamad Har Sinai, and we're reading the Torah as if you got it at Har Sinai, and there's reason to believe that by Kriyat HaTorah more than just Stam Limud HaTorah, and that's because of the way that we set it up. First of all, it's in public, it's in the Tzibur. And if you look at some of the Achronim, and they discuss the structure of how the Gabaim stand around the person who's getting the Aliyah, so they also describe that Moshe Rabbeinu was on one side, accompanied by a person, and on the other side accompanied by a person. Therefore, we have Gabaim on both sides of the Torah. So there is a framework which is indicative of Mamad Har Sinai. If that's the case, then one should stand for the Kriyat HaTorah, because it's Ilu, you're standing at Har Sinai. So Rav Soloveitchik noted that with regards to the Aseret HaDibrot, there are two different ways to read the Aseret HaDibrot. There's Tama Elyon and Tama Tachton. What's the difference between Tama Elyon and Tama Tachton? The difference is how they are divided up. Tama Tachton divides up the Aseret HaDibrot into Psukim. The Tama Elyon divides up the Aseret HaDibrot into Dibrot. That, for instance, Shabbat, which is multiple Psukim, becomes one big Pasuk in the Tama Elyon because that's the whole Dibra. Versus the Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tinaf, those items with regards to Psukim are one Pasuk, but with regards to Dibrot and the Tama Elyon, they're totally separate. They're all broken up because each one is an independent Dibra. And so what he pointed out was it makes a difference when we lane. When you lane with regards to the Aseret HaDibrot, there's a minhag in different places. Some places read the Tama Tachton, some places read Tama Elyon. Everybody reads on the Shavuot the Tama Elyon. So when on Shavuot we read the Aseret HaDibrot, there everybody reads Tama Elyon. The rest of the year, when you bump into it in Parshat Yitro and Parshat Etchanan, which we have, please God, next week in Shabbat Nachamu, do you read Tama Elyon, Tama Tachton? That is subject to different minhagim. But the minhag by everybody on Shavuot is read Tama Elyon. And so what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out is that the Tama Elyon makes the Aseret HaDibrot different than the Tam HaTachton. By Tam HaElyon, when you read it Kedibrot, then it's clear you're trying to convey that this is as if you're standing at Har Sinai and giving over the Dibrot. That's why you're reading the Tam HaElyon. And therefore, maybe everybody would agree with regards to Shavuot, you should stand up for the Aseret HaDibrot, because there you're reading it by Tam HaElyon. The rest of the year, then it might be subject to the difference of whether you read Tam HaElyon or Tam HaTachton. If you're reading Tam HaTachton, you're making like any other part of the Torah, and then the Rambam's right. You shouldn't distinguish it, you shouldn't differentiate it than any other part of the Torah. On the other hand, if you read Tam HaElyon the rest of the year, maybe again there's a reason to stand up for the Aseret HaDibrot, because we are making it different than the rest of the Torah. You're right, because we're making it as if you're standing at Har Sinai in that case. The way to solve the problem, and we're coming up Parshat Etchanan, is not to stand up for the Aseret HaDibrot, but to stand up for that entire Aliyah. So if you get up from the beginning of that Aliyah, then it's not making that one part unique. It's giving, you know, you stood up for the whole Aliyah, and it's much easier, and you avoid the problem that is mentioned by the Rambam. And of course, the best practice is to stand up for all of Kriyat HaTorah, and therefore you'll never have that issue, because you're receiving the Torah as if it was Behar Sinai, and standing up like the old practice of old, where they used to stand up to learn the Torah. Right now, the Gemara continues with the next part of the Mishnah, which is Kara Echad Karua Shnaim Yatzu. So we said here, with regards to Megillah, you can have one person reading it, or you can have two people reading it simultaneously. Again, the Gemara says, Tana Mashen Kein B'Torah. That's not true by the Torah. So now, why is that? So Tana Rabbanan, B'Torah Echad Kore V'Echad Mitargem. When it comes to the Torah, one person only can be reading the Torah, and only one person can be translating the Torah. Targum was the vernacular of the time, and that's the language that they understood, the Aramaic, and the Mitargem was so the people understood what they were learning or what they were hearing in the Kriyat HaTorah. So it's Echad HaKoreh and Echad HaMitargem. Only one person can read the Torah, only one person can be Mitargem. Uvad, Shlo Yehei Echad Koreh Ushtayim Mitargemin. And you can't, as long as you don't have one person reading the Torah and two doing Targum, of course, you can't have two people reading the Torah. You can only have one and one. Ubi Navi, the Navi is different. Echad Koreh, when it comes to reading of Navi, only one person can read it. Ushnai mitargamim. But when it comes to the Targum of Navi, then you can have two people doing it simultaneously. Uvajlayu ushnai mkurim ushnai mitargamim. What you can have is two people reading it and two people translating it. As Rashi points out over here, the purpose of Targum, inu lashmiel nashim va'amei haaretz, it's for the nashim and amei haaretz. This is what we mentioned before in the Gemara, that they were not familiar with Lashon HaKodesh. Sheinu mekirim b'Lashon HaKodesh, v'targum hu laz habavliim. That is the common language. It's the vernacular of the Bavliim. B'targum shel Torah, tzrichim lachzor sheim mevinim et ha-mitzvot. By the Targum, the translation of the Torah, it's important that they understand everything perfectly, because it is the core of the practice of our mitzvot. V'shin nevi'im lo kapti aleu kulei hai. But Navi, stories, other things like that, it's not as important. So there, we're not so makpid to make sure that only one person is saying it, and they get every single word that's there. So that's how Rashi describes the difference between why by Torah we only have one person being mitargem, and by Navi we can have multiple people being mitargem. Ube Hallel, ube Megillah, afilu asara korim. By Hallel and Megillah, even 10 people can read it. Now Rashi eliminates the next line in the Gemara, vasara mitargamin, and you can have 10 people translate it. Rashi eliminates it from the Gemara based on what we saw back on Daf Gimel. Back on Daf Gimel, the Gemara related that When it came to Yonatan ben Uziel, he went ahead and he wrote the Targum for the Navi. Unculus wrote the Targum for the Torah. Yonatan ben Uziel did it for the Navi. And then we had Batko came out and said, you know, who's revealing my secrets? And he was not allowed to write the Targum for the Ketuvim. Because it says there it has the Inyana Kates and the Inyana Mashiach that's found in Daniel. So they didn't want him to translate it. So from that Gemara, it sounds like there's no Targum on the Ketuvim. So Rashi eliminates the word Targum here because there is no Targum when it comes to the Megillah. On the other hand, we know that we do have a Targum for the Ketuvim. And as Tosfot points out here, it was a Targum that came out of the later part of the Tanaim, later period of the Tanaim. And so we do have a Targum, and therefore there's no reason to erase it because we're talking about the Targum, just not the Targum of Yonatan ben Uziel. So my Taima, what's the reason behind all of this? We saw this also in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is Kevin de Chaviva Yahavi Datayu Vishameh. Since these are very, I'll call them unique mitzvot, mitzvot that are beloved on the people, they make extra effort to hear it, and they're able to overcome the problem of multiple people reading at the same time. That's true by, we said it by the Shofar, we said that here by Hallel and by Megillah, this idea that when a mitzvah is chaviva, then it takes on a world of its own, in the sense that people really pay attention, they really focus, and when they really focus, they can deal with multiple people reading. On the other hand, when you're dealing with the mundane, you're dealing with the Torah and the Nevi'im, those items that are weekly things, okay, they're important, but people don't have that sense of specialness or uniqueness with them, and therefore they're not going to focus as much or concentrate as much, and so we have to cater to them, and having that only one person reads and not make it difficult that our multiple people are reading. Okay, now we move on to the next pair of the Mishnah, is Makom Shenagud Varech Yivarech. In a place where the minhag to make the bracha, you make the bracha. Amar Abaye, Lo Shanu Elalacha Reha. That is only afterwards. Elalafaneha Mitzvah Levarech. When it comes to before the Megillah, there's definitely a mitzvah to make a bracha. Damar Rav Yehuda Mashmol, Kol HaMitzvot, Kulan Mevarech Aleihem, Over LaAsiyatan. All mitzvot, you have to make the bracha, Over LaAsiyatan. Something, LaAsiyatan, what's Over mean? My mashma dahai over lishna daktumehu. How do you know that lashon of over means beforehand? So that's what it says. Kol mitzvot, you have to make the bracha before you perform the mitzvah. Which is the way that we perform all of our mitzvot. We make the bracha. You take the lulav, you make the bracha before you take the lulav. Al nitlat lulav. Before you blow the shofar, you make a bracha. Before we perform any mitzvah, we say a bracha. Now, we've discussed in the past, part of the purpose of saying the bracha before the mitzvah is only to be mikavein. To direct your thoughts, direct your kavanah, direct your action that you are now involved in a mitzvah. So Gemara says, how do you know this word over la'asiyatan means before you actually do the mitzvah? So my mashma dahai over lishna daktumehu am rav nachum bayitzah makra. Pasuk says in Shmuel Bet, v'yiratza chimatz derech hakikar v'yavur et hakushi. It's in the case by the death of Absalom. So Yoav tells Achimatz that he may not want to be the one who runs back to tell David about this news, because David is not going to enjoy this. Lo yom bisorahi. This is not a day of good news. So he sends the Kushi to go tell David. Achimatz is insistent, and he takes off after the Kushi, and says here, Vayavur et HaKushi. He passed the Kushi. He moved in front of him. So that's what it means, Vayavur. Aver means to go in front of. So here too, Over LaSiyatan means before you do them. Vibaytema. And some say from here, which is Abaye Amar Mihocha. Abaye says from here, V'huavar lifnehem, by Yaakov Avinu. It says that he sets up his family in the two machanot, and then he walks in front of them. He passes before them in order to greet Esav. So again, here the word Avar means to go before. V'ibaytema Mihocha. And some quote the pasuk from Micha, which is V'yavor Malkam lifnehem v'Hashem Berosham, that their king passes in front of them, and now Hashem is in front of them. Now, the Malkam here is a reference to the king meaning Hashem. So the Malkam passes before them, and now Hashem's in front of them. Birosham, he's leading them. So Yivavur, again, means to go in front of. So Over La'asiyatan means to pass in front of, to be in front of. So that's why when we say you do a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha. Over La'asiyatan means prior to the doing of the mitzvah. Now, you could ask the question, which is a good question, why not just say, Lifnei Asiyatan? Why do you use the word over? Why don't you just make this simple and say the word Lifnei? So, there is a Gemara in Menachot that speaks about the issue of Tefillin. And by the issue of tefillin, it says there that one puts on the tefillin, they can only make the bracha, for instance, by the tefillin shayad, once the tefillin is on your arm, but before you tighten it. But if the tefillin is still in your hand, you can't make the bracha on the tefillin, because that's over de over. That's before de before. So that's too far away. The mitzvah, the bracha can only be made when you're involved in the mitzvah. And so that might be what the word over means over here. Over means to be engaged in, not only to be before, but also to be engaged in the mitzvah. And if you look at all the examples that are brought here, in each of the instances, the vayavor means that they engaged in something, and that caused them to go before. Like by Yaakov Avinu is the best example. He first takes care of his family, and then he passes in front of them, goes in front of them. So over here, the need to say the bracha over le'siyatan is not only beforehand, but it has to be adjacent or immediately beforehand. And you have to be osek in the mitzvah. You already have to be getting ready. You have to have the lulav in your hand. You have to have the shofar in your hand. You have to have the maaseh mitzvah right there. Or you have the tefillin on your arm already before you make the bracha. So that's maybe one reason why we use the word over. The other possibility that is brought by the Shagas Aryeh says the word over can mean both things. It can mean over, to be in front of. And also can mean after. Avar can mean after. And based on that, the Shagas Aryeh paskins that if one did not make a bracha before the mitzvah, they're entitled to make the bracha after the mitzvah. There's a big chiddush there. That a pirkei de mitzvah should be said beforehand. But if you don't say it beforehand, you can say it even after you have performed the mitzvah. And he bases it on the fact that here, the word over is used, over le'siyatan, which has both meanings. It means before, and it means after. And so yes, the better way to do it is before, but if you don't do it before, then you can say it even afterwards. So those are two different reasons as to why the Gemara uses the Lashon Over instead of Lifnei. Okay, Lefana Amay Mevarech, what is the bracha before the Megillah? Rav Sheshet Mikatrizia, Ikla Lekameh de Rav Ashi. So Rav Sheshet from this location went before Rav Ashi. Barich Manach. He made the bracha of Manach. As Rav Ashi describes as what's Manach. Manach is Mikra Megillah, Nisim, and Chete Shechianu. The three brachot that come before the Megillah. The Ran over here points out as well that here the Gemara makes no differentiation between the nighttime and the daytime, as opposed to by Nerot Chanukah, where the Gemara makes the differentiation between the first night and the subsequent nights, that the first night's three brachot, after that it's only two brachot. Over here the Gemara makes a statement without any qualification, and therefore the Ran says that you should make all three brachot, both at nighttime and during the day. And we saw before again the Ran Shito that the Iker Kriya is during the day, and therefore we make a Shechianu during the day as well on Mikra Megillah, even though we read it the night before. Le'acharea Amay Mivarech. What is the bracha afterwards? So Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Haravet Rivenu, Adan Adinenu, Vanokem Et Nikmatenu, Vanifra Lanu Mitzarenu, Vamshalem Gomol Uchol Ovei Nafshenu, Baruch Ata Hashem Hanifra Liyisrael Mikol Tzarehem. So here it's a praise to Hashem for basically standing up for us and taking care of us, which is the story of the Megillah. The story of the Megillah is that Hashem interceded on our behalf and saved us from our enemies. So the bracha reflects that. The one who battles our battles, the one who takes care of our retribution, the one who saves us and pays back our enemies. So therefore, Baruch Ata Hashem and Yifra Lisa Mikol Tzareihem, who pays back the enemies on our behalf, so that we don't have to do it, Hashem does it on our behalf. So now the Gemara says, Rav Amar, Hakela Moshiach, that the bracha should end also with Hakela Moshiach, which is Anifra Lisel Mikol Tzareihem, Hakela Moshiach, Amar Rav Papa, Hilkach Nimrinu L'Tarvayu. This is Rav Papa that we've seen so many times. We mentioned in the Gemara in Tanit, we mentioned the Gemara in Brachot with regard to Rufei Kol Basaru Mafli La'asot. There are two opinions what to say, and he says we should say both of them. The Gemara Tanit with regards to the Birkat HaGeshem for the first rain. Over there were two opinions about what to say. Rav Papa again says, Hilkach Nimrinu L'Tarvayu. We say both of them. And once again over here, Rav Papa again says, Hilkach Nimrinu L'Tarvayu. We say both of them. Baruch Ata Hashem and Nifra Lisa Mikol Tzareihem, Hakela Moshiach, which is our practice to say both of the conclusions here. Both Nifra Lisa Mikol Tzareihem and Hakela Moshiach, to reference the two aspects here. Both that Hashem takes retribution on our enemies, as well as the fact that he saves us, that he brings us salvation. And so therefore, Rav Papa, and we've spoken about this in the past, is the compromiser, and he does this 10 times in Shas, and those 10 times are then reflected when we say the Hadron Alach in the Gemara after Masechta, that we mention the 10 sons of Rapapa, Keneged, the 10 times that Rapapa reconciled and was a person who brought peace or was able to include multiple opinions, so that we reflect that in his 10 sons. So now, the question that Ron asks over here is that he doesn't understand the nature of the bracha afterwards. He says, with regards to other brachot, for instance, let's talk about Hallel. By Hallel, you have a bracha beforehand, likroat Hallel or likmorat Hallel, and then you have a bracha afterwards. The bracha after the Hallel does not start with Baruch. It starts, Elucha Hashem Akol Ma'asecha, and then it ends with the Baruch. Why? Because it's a bracha smuchada chaverta. It's a bracha that is close to another bracha, or it's a bracha that already has an opening bracha. Why is that? Because the Hallel began with a bracha. Then the Hallel itself is not an interruption. A Hallel itself is the ikar part of what you're doing. And therefore the closing bracha is smucha to the bracha that you opened with. Tosafot also says this with regards to Kriyat Shema. The reason that the Birkot Kriyat Shema and the brachot that are after Kriyat Shema don't start with the word Baruch is because the ones beforehand had a Baruch associated with them, and Kriyat Shema does not interrupt, and therefore they're a continuation, the smucha to the bracha that is beforehand, and that's why they don't need a bracha to open. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Why does the bracha that is after the Megillah begin with Baruch, and not start without Baruch, and then just conclude Baruch, because it's a bracha smucha de chavrata that was only interrupted with Kriyat HaMegillah, which is topical? So for that reason, the Ran says that the bracha here is not on the Megillah. The bracha here is a separate bracha of Hodah LaHashem, al Hanes, but nothing to do. It's not a bracha on the Megillah itself. And therefore, that's why they had to create a Baruch before and afterwards, because it's topically different, or it's not part of the Kriyat HaMegillah. And that's why the bracha is set up as a starting with a Baruch and ending with a Baruch, and not considered to be Smucha de Chavrata to the bracha that we make before the Megillah. All right. B'sheni u'b'chamishi b'shabbat. B'mincha korin shlosha. So you have the Monday, Thursday, and Shabbat mincha, you read three. Hani shlosha keneged mi. These three aliyot, what are they built upon? Some are vasi keneged Torah, Nevi'im, Uktuvim. The three books of Tanakh. Rav Amar keneged Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim, who we're going to give aliyot to. So now, what's interesting here is that we could have come up with a reason for any number. And if you give a number, and the Gemara will do that. For all the numbers, we'll have some sort of parallel. So I don't think the Gemara is asking necessarily the reason why it's three. And that's not what they're asking. This is the exact reason. What they're trying to do is say, what is the significance of the number three? Why did we pick three? Or why did we pick five? Are these numbers that we have paradigms or examples in the Torah where this number has significance? And that's why Chazal picked such a number. So they pick three because three has significance in other areas or has significance in many places, and therefore it's a good number to pick. It's not the reason they pick three, but it is enough of a reason to say that this has significance, and that's why we have the three aliyot. Elahadatani Rav Shimi, Ein Pochatim Yud Psukim Beit HaKnesset. What are you going to do with the statement? Rav Shimi says that you have to have a minimum of 10 Psukim Beit HaKnesset. Now, if you say you have three aliyot, 10 doesn't divide by three so easily. So now Gemara says, "Vayidaber olam min haminyan, vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemor." Even though it's not something special in a pasuk, it counts as one of them. Hani asara keneged mi? Those 10 psukim, what are they keneged? So Yishu ben Levi keneged asara batlanim. It's keneged the asara batlanim shebeit Knesset that we spoke about in the Gemara earlier about the 10 people that are designated from the tzibur to be in the Beit Knesset all day, whether to learn or to be there for the minyanim. That's what the Asarab Sukim is, Keneged Asarab Batanim. Again, we see the significance of 10 in the context of the Beit Knesset. Rav Yosef Mar, Keneged Asarat HaDibrot. We have the Asarat HaDibrot, Shenemar LaMoshe MiSinai. Again, this idea that Kriyat HaTorah is somehow connected to the receiving of the Torah at Har Sinai. Rav Yochanan Mar, Keneged Asarab Mamarot. It's connected to the 10 utterances by which Hashem created Shbehem Nivra Ulam, that Hashem created the world. Here, the Asarab Mamarot, Asarab Eseret HaDibrot, or the Asarab Batlanim, all these giving significance to number 10 in the context of Limud HaTorah or Kriyat HaTorah. So, hey, Ninhu, what are these 10 Mamarot Shebo Nivra Olam? When it says, Vayomer de Breshit, every time it says Vayomer in Mazze Breshit, that's the Mamarot. When it says, Hani Tishavu, there are only 9 of those. So, when it says, Breshit Nami Mamarhu, the word Breshit also functions as a Mamar, Tichtiv. Dvar Hashem, Shamayim Nasu, Uberuach Piv, Kol Tzvam. We see that the Dvar Hashem created the Shamayim. So Bereshit, Bara Elohim, Shamayim et Aretz. So there, Shamayim v'Aretz was created B'Dvar Hashem. So we see that's also considered to be a Mamar or a Dibur, and that's how we have the Asara Mamorot that are mentioned here in the Mishnah and Avot. Amar Rava. Now that we have 10 psukim and 3 aliyot, it's pretty obvious that two of the people are going to get 3 psukim, and one of them is going to get 4. Which one of them is going to get the 4 psukim? So Rava basically presents here, which is that if any one of them that got 4 would be okay. Because Amar Rava, Rishon Shekara Dalet Mishubach. Sheni Shekara Dalet Mishubach. Shlishi Shekara Dalet Mishubach. The fact that whether it's the first aliyah that gets the 4 psukim, whether the second aliyah that gets the 4 psukim, or the third aliyah gets the 4 psukim, all of those are good. Why? Because he's going to show you that we have precedent for giving priority to the first, to the middle, or to the last. We show in Shekara Dalet Mishubach Detnan. We have a Mishnah in Shkalim, Beshlosh Kubot Shel Shalosh Shalosh Seim, Shebehen Tormim Et Alishka, that you had the, by the Trumat Alishka, they used to take out 3 baskets upon which they were written Aleph Bet Gimel, Yekutuv Aleim Aleph Bet Gimel, and used to be Toreim Lishka. Why did you put Aleph Bet Gimel on the baskets? Why does it matter when you're doing the Trumat Alishka? They done, is many Trumat Rishona, Rishon, to know which one of them was taken first, Lakrivi Mena Rishon, to bring from that the Korbanot Tzibur first, Shemitzvah berishon, because the mitzvah is to use the first. So here we see that there is priority or precedence given to the first. So therefore, the first could get 4 psukim, and we would make sense to us. Emtzai shekara arba mishubach, the middle one gets 4 psukim. That's also why, the Tanya, el mol pnei ha-menorah ya'iru shivat ha-neirot. When it comes to the menorah, that all the neirot pointed towards pnei ha-menorah, the middle of the menorah. That all the candles face towards the middle one, which was the Ner HaMarvi, the Ner HaMarvi klapei Shechina, the Ner HaMarvi faces towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is only according to the Mandamar, it's a machlok in the Gemara Menachot, as to which direction the menorah stood in the Kodesh. This is according to the opinion that the menorah ran north-south. Since the menorah ran north-south, the Ner HaMarvi is considered to be the middle Ner, the one that is part of the body of the menorah, and that faced, the wick faced towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then the others on the side faced inward towards that middle one. So that's what he's describing over here. So here you see the significance of the middle. The middle one is the most significant. So to over here, if you gave 4 psukim, then that would be considered to be a mishubach. From here you learn that the middle one is considered to be the best. V'acharon shekara bar mishubach, if you give the 4 psukim to the last one, that's also mishubach. Mishum, malim b'kodesh v'lo moridin. That we always try to be malim b'kodesh v'lo morid. Rav Papa ikla l'beik nishta da beik gubar, v'kar rishon arba'a, v'shabchei Rav Papa. And he read the first aliyah with 4 psukim, and Rav Papa praised him. And the truth is that if we had the choice, or we can, we would try to have 4 psukim for everybody. If we don't, then we give the 4 psukim to the last aliyah following Malim B'Kodesh V'lo Mori Din. There's only one time in the year where we don't have 10 psukim to read, and that is on Purim itself. On Purim itself, we read from the Parshat HaMelech, from Parshat B'Shalach, which only has 9 psukim in it. And therefore, we give out 3 aliyot of 3 psukim each, and we don't reach number 10. Tosafot mentioned before, the Ran mentions it over here, why don't we just add on another pasuk? Why don't we just read more? He says that we only add on psukim or read more when it's topically relevant. But if it's not topically relevant, we're not just going to add psukim. To read into Parshat Yitro doesn't make sense over there because it has nothing to do with the Inyan HaDiyoma. So therefore, we're going to stop at 9 psukim. We're not going to add on any psukim. And that's the only time of year where we read 9 psukim and give out aliyot of 3, 3, and 3 and don't have the last aliyah have 4 psukim. Okay, in pochadim en ven mosifin alein. So now Gemara says, Tana poteach mivarech lefanea, v'chotei mivarech l'acharea. The one who gets the first aliyah makes the bracha on the first, or the beginning bracha, and the one who gets the last aliyah makes the last bracha. Vayidna. Today, the kulu mivarech lefanea l'acharea. Every aliyah makes the bracha before and afterwards. Hainu taimo, titakinu rabbonan, gzera mishum anichnasim, mishum ayotzim. That is a takanat rabbanan, gzera, because some people leave in the middle of the laning, and some people come in the middle of the laning. So those that leave in the middle of the laning won't hear the bracha achrona. And those that come in the middle of the laning won't hear the bracha rishona. Therefore, we have each aliyah be almost in a sense its own world by having a bracha before and afterwards, so they're self-contained. Each aliyah is self-contained and has a bracha beforehand and bracha afterwards. Also think that it's much more difficult today to have people maintain a sense of decorum and have the bracha rishonah be in the beginning and the other bracha at the end, and not be able to talk in between and not be engaged in other matters in between. So that would be problematic in terms of having in the beginning and the end. People may not be able to do that, and therefore having a bracha on each aliyah segregates each one out, and therefore ben gavra the gavra, we're more makil in terms of what people can do or what they can speak about, even though you're not allowed to speak mundane matters. You're not supposed to speak ben gavra the gavra, but we're more makil. You can say mishabeirach, you can do things that are shayach to the tefillah that you can speak about if it's relevant. So therefore this gives people an outlet for that space between the aliyot. Alright, now, the Gemara continues, B'Roshei Chodeshim Mechodesh Moed Korim Arba'a. Ba'im Inei Ula Bar Mirova Parshat Rosh Chodesh Ketzad Korin Ota. How do we read the Parshat Rosh Chodesh? So let's discuss here, what is the problem of Parshat Rosh Chodesh? The problem of Parshat Rosh Chodesh is that we just indicated that Rosh Chodesh gets four aliyot. Now, the Parshat Rosh Chodesh comes from Parshat Pinchas by the Musafim. We read the Parshat of the Tamid. We read Uviyom Shabbat, and then we read Voshei Chod Shechem. We read all three of those paragraphs. Why do we don't add on Psukim again is for the same reason, because after that, it's not topically relevant. To read about Pesach on Rosh Chodesh isn't relevant. To read about the Korban Tamid is relevant, because the Korban Tamid is brought every day. To read about Shabbat may or may not be relevant, the Ran says, because sometimes Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbat. Okay, I would have just said that because it sits between the Parshat Tamid and the Parshat Rosh Chodesh, so you read straight through. The problem is that the way it breaks down is that the first paragraph, the Parshat HaTamid, is 8 psukim. The second paragraph, which is a Yom HaShabbat, the Korbanei Musaf, is 2 psukim. The last paragraph of Roshei Chod Shechem is 5 psukim. You have to now divide that up into 4 individuals, each one of them getting 3 psukim. So that wouldn't be so hard, because you have a number of psukim. All you need is 12 psukim that you have here. You have 8, 2, and 5, which serves as 15 psukim. It certainly suffices. The problem is, and this is going to be discussed in the Gemara in a second, I'm going to preview it with you so you understand the issue, is that the Gemara says here, you're not allowed to end an aliyah within 3 psukim of a parsha. You're not allowed to begin an aliyah within 3 psukim of a parsha. And that's gzera mishuna nichnasim, gzera mishuma yotzim. The same problem we have here with the brachot before and afterwards, because the people entering late or leaving early, if you leave early and you don't leave 3 psukim left to the parsha, they'll think that you can have an aliyah that's less than 3 psukim. Or someone comes in and sees that you've stopped within 3 psukim of some point, they're going to think that the previous aliyah was only 2 psukim. So in order to avoid that problem, we never stop within 3 psukim of a paragraph marker. So that's what creates the problem here, how to divide up the aliyot. Because in terms of the 8 psukim, you can't divide that up into 3 aliyot. You can only divide it up into 2 aliyot. Well, then what do you have remaining? Then you have a paragraph of 2 and a paragraph of 5. That can't be broken up into 2 aliyot. So now you're stuck in a position where you need to break it up into 4 aliyot. The parameters in which you are given, which is you have to have 3 psukim from the beginning, 3 psukim from the end, and not stop in the middle of a paragraph like that, doesn't leave the option to get 4 aliyot with 3 psukim. It's the same problem that we saw in the Gemara Tanit with regards to the Mamadot. By the Mamadot, for Breshit, there's a Parshia there of 5 psukim, and then a parshia of 3 psukim. And you have to give 3 aliyot. How do I deal with 3 aliyot when you only have 8 psukim? So the Gemara solution that they give there will also be the solution that they give here for Rosh Chodesh. Right, so now let's read this inside. Parshat Rosh Chodesh, Ketzad Korin Ota. How do we do it? Tzavet b'nei Yisrael Martalehem, mit korbani lachmi, davyen tamnaye psuke. That's 8 psukim. Hechinavit. How are we going to break it up? Nikr trei. Talata, talata psukim. If you bring up 2 aliyot of 3 psukim each, pashaluhu trei, then you're left with 2 psukim in that little paragraph. Ve'imisharim pasha pachol mishlosha psukim. You're not allowed to leave over a paragraph. You're not allowed to stop with the less than 2 psukim left to a parshia. Nikra arba arba. Okay, so just call up 2 people. Each one will get 4 psukim. So now you have a problem. Pashaluhu shiva. You only have 7 psukim left. Ubiyoma shabbat havin trein. Yom HaShabbat is 2 psukim, Roshei Choshem havi chamisha, and Rosh Chodesh, Roshei Choshem is 5 psukim, hechi navid. What are you going to do? Nikra trei meha v'chad mehanoch. What are you going to do? Read 2 for Yom HaShabbat, and 1 for Roshei Choshechem. Ein matchilim b'pasha pachot mishlosha psukim. You can't start a pasha less than 2 psukim, less than 3 psukim away from the beginning of that parshia. So, likra trei meha utlata mehach. Well, so what? You read 2 psukim from Yom HaShabbat, and then 3 psukim from Roshei Choshechem. The problem is, pashalu trei, then you only have 2 psukim left, and you can't leave over 2 psukim, and also you need another aliyah, and you need a minimum of 3 psukim. So hello, Zulo Shamati. I didn't hear the solution to this problem. Kiyotzi ba Shamati, but I heard something similar. The Tanan, and this is the Mishnah that we saw in Tanit. Biyom Rishon Breshit Vayihi Rakia. Vatani Allah, Breshit Bishnaim Yihi Rakia Be'achad. Breshit is split into two aliyot. Yihi Rakia is one aliyah. Vavinam ba Bishlama Yihi Rakia Be'achad. I understand why Yihi Rakia is one aliyah. That's Lata Psuke Avo, because that's three Psukim. El Breshit Bishnaim Chamisha Psukim Avo. How can you read Breshit in two aliyot? It's only five Psukim. Vatani, Akore B'Torah Lo Yivchot Mishlosha Psukim. And whoever gets an aliyah doesn't get less than three Psukim. Ve'itmar Allah. And there we have the Machloket Amoraim as to the solution. Rav Amar Doleg, Ushmuel Amar Posek. Rav says, Doleg, we repeat one Pasuk. And Shmuel says, we split a Pasuk in half. Rav Amar Doleg, Rav says that we read over a Pasuk a second time. My Tamad, Lo Amar Posek. Why does he hold like Shmuel to break up a Pasuk in the middle? Kasalvar called Pasuka Dolo Paske Moshe. I don't know Paskinan. That any pasuk that was not divided by Moshe, we can't arbitrarily come and divide a pasuk in half in the middle. Ushmol Amar Paskinin Le. And Shmuel says we do break it up. V'amar Rav Chanina Kra. Chanina, who was the teacher of Psukim, teacher of Torah. Tzar Gadol Ayoli Eitzel Rav Chanina Gadol. I was in a difficult position. I was trying to plead Rav Chanina Gadol. Lo'itir Li Lifsoka Latino Coach of Beit Rabban. He only allowed me to break up the Psukim for the children so that they could understand it and they could grasp it. Hovelita made a suyin, because they're trying to learn. They're learning. So hatam time am I. Why is the reason that he allowed him to break it up there? Mishum to lefshar. There was no other way to do it. So hachanami Shmuel says, lo efshar. There's no other way to do it. Shmuel amar posek. My time alo amar doleg. Why doesn't he allow you to repeat a pasuk? Zera mishum anichnasim mushima yotzim. Because if you repeat the pasuk, you're going to end up with a problem of those that are coming in and going out, that you're going to be too close, two psukim away from one side, either from the end or from the beginning. And therefore, it wouldn't be appropriate. Right? The Gemara continues down here for a little bit and comes to a conclusion, which is Hilchata is like Rav, Doleg, Ubeem Sili Dogan, and the middle one is Doleg. So you actually turn out there's a three-way machloket about how to read on Rosh Chodesh. The Rif brings the mainstream Shita, and the Shita Rif is that with regards to the first paragraph, we read the first three psukim, Vedaber Shema Moshe Limor, Tzavet B'nei Sel, V'amata Lehem, Et Korbani Lachmi Lishay, Reachnu Chachit, Shmuel Akriv Li B'modo, and then the third pasuk, V'amata Lehem, Zei Shea, Asher Tikriv Lashem, Kvasim B'nei Shinat B'mim, Shtami O, Malat Tamit. That's the end of the first Aliyah. The second Aliyah begins again with pasuk Gimel, V'amata Lehem, Zei Yishe. You repeat it again, and then you read Dalet and Hey. That'll be the second Aliyah. And then the third Aliyah has three psukim left in the paragraph, plus V'yom HaShabbat, and then the fourth Aliyah is Roshei Chod Shechem. And that is what the Rif suggests, that we paskin like Rav, Doleg, Ube Emtzei Doleg, Emtzei meaning the second Aliyah, the one we can deal with it, that's the one we do the Dilug on. The Ramban takes issue with this Rif. It's interesting that generally the Ramban, supportive of the Rif over here, he takes a big issue with the Rif. And he says, I don't understand. What does this do for you? Number one, it leaves you in a position where you're starting with less than two psukim away from the beginning. That's number one. So what have you gained by being Doleg? The whole problem of not leaning in the normal manner is because you're going to leave over psukim, either too close to the paragraph or start too close to the paragraph. Here you're creating the same problem, being doleg. So the Rashba and the Ran and everybody comes to defense of the Rif and explains that dilug is unusual, so people know that it's different, or maybe we have no choice here and this is the best of the worst options. Nevertheless, the Ramban comes up with a different solution, which is the Ramban says that we read the first two aliyot, you read four psukim, and then the third aliyah reads of Yom HaShabbat, and the first pasuk from the last of Roshei Chod Shechem. And he says, this is no worse than what you're doing. You're starting within two psukim in the beginning. I'm stopping within two psukim in the beginning. That's fine too. I'm doing the same thing you're doing, and there I don't have to repeat. So the Ramban says, you read Yom HaShabbat, two psukim, and then Roshei Chod Shechem, the last pasuk. And that's how we solve the problem. What about the fact that Gemara is just passing like Rav Doleg? He says, that's not about Rosh Chodesh. That's by the Mamadot. They're passing aloha like Rav Doleg is by Mamadot. The middle Aliyah, when you have three Aliyot, it makes sense to talk about a middle Aliyah. That's talking about Mamadot. By Rosh Chodesh, we don't repeat anything. The third approach is the approach of the Gra. The approach of the Gra is actually to read the first three Psukim is the first Aliyah. The second Aliyah reads from Pasuk Dalet through Chet. He reads the last five psukim of the first paragraph. And then the next Aliyah comes back and once again reads those psukim and then adds on also the psukim of Yom HaShabbat. those two additional psukim. And then the fourth aliyah reads, Roshei Chodsheichem. So halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, paskin like the Rif, and that is a practice in Rov Tfutzot Yisrael, is that we repeat the Pasuk Va Amarta Lehem, because the Gra gave that alternate opinion, and in Eretz Yisrael, many times people follow the Minag Gra, and so there are practices, there are places in Eretz Yisrael that follow the practice of the Gra, and the way that they divide up the Psukim on Rosh Chodesh is according to that division of the Gra, by which you read the first three psukim as being the first aliyah. The second oleh reads from Dal through Chet. The third oleh repeats the Vav Zayin Chet, the last three psukim of the first paragraph, and then adds on the two psukim of Yom HaShabbat. And then Roshei Chodsheichem is the fourth aliyah. Now, many reject the Magen Avraham, and others reject the Gra's approach, because they say the Gemara here says Doleg, and it only mentions one pasuk, that you repeat one pasuk. The way the Gra has it, you're repeating three psukim. Where did you ever come up with this issue of repeating three psukim? Obviously, the Gra says that his solution is better, because his, at least in his solution, you never end up with the problem that the Ramban's question on the Rif, because you're not starting within two psukim and not ending within two psukim, and that's why the Gra sees his solution as being better, even though it requires the repetition of three psukim instead of one pasuk. Again, the general minhag is like the Ramah, according to the Rif, whereas there are places in Eretz Yisrael that follow the minhag Gra. Okay, we're going to stop over here.